God. And I would not want this to sound like a disclaimer, but I will just throw this in. There are people in this building that have discovered that Jesus in our lives is not just so that we can have him bless our plans. He's in our lives so we can get connected with his plan. Because his plans for you, his plans for me, his plans for us are better than our plans for us. So we might as well just give Jesus Christ our lives. Thank you so much for being here today. And I do want to say that certainly the presence of the Lord is here to heal and to help. If you're a guest and you didn't make it up for prayer a little while ago, we will be praying after the message today with anybody that needs prayer. You don't have to tell us your business. You don't have to join the church. Just join everybody at the altar and let God meet your need. There's something about calling on the name of Jesus that makes the difference in our lives. So please take advantage of that. And I know we've heard a lot of different announcements about great things happening around here. I am excited about Heaven View University. And yet I will just throw this out too. It wasn't mentioned yet. There is a table in the foyer that's a great place to register, reserve a place for our special dinner, Marriage Matters dinner, that's happening this Saturday evening. You don't have to be a member of the church to be a part of that. You just got to sign up. And I think there is a cost. But when you think about February and some of the things we do to just show our love to someone special, it's very reasonable and it's a wonderful chance to have a great time in a beautiful atmosphere. So don't miss that. Why don't we stand together? We're going to go to the Word of the Lord in the Old Testament, and we're going to let the Lord speak to us through the pages of the Bible for just a little bit today. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to read one verse. Isaiah 58 and verse number 10. The Lord is speaking and he says, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday." When God gets a hold of our lives, he changes us. And this verse gives us a promise, and I know it was written to Israel. We'll talk more about the context of this verse in a few moments. But if you have anything in your life that feels like it's on the dark side, or a sense of obscurity, or a sense of just feeling like, man, I just don't matter, or it's just all messed up, the Lord lets us know through his word that if we draw out our soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, if we do something with what God has done for us, sharing it with others, in the process of us reaching out to others, he's going to cause our light to shine. The Sunday school kids used to sing it, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Now I want to tell you today, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever need you might have, the last thing you might think would bring a solution to you would be reaching out to others. But that's exactly what this verse promises. If I will get my attention off of me and get my attention on God and do the things that he wants me to do with what he's given me, then I will see my light shine. Let's pray together, ask the Lord to speak to us. I want to share with you from this simple thought, let it shine. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want the power of your presence to work in our lives today. We want the Holy Ghost to make a difference in our hearts today. God, we have a number of guests here, and Lord, I don't want them to feel excluded from the moving of the Holy Ghost and the opportunity to receive a miracle today. Lord, maybe the surroundings are unfamiliar, but surely they would have experienced enough of you to feel that same familiar sense of the power of God that is present to heal. God, help your people to be comfortable in your presence right now to the degree that we can receive your word and respond with faith and obedience and be transformed to see the supernatural happen in our lives. Let's one more time thank the Lord for his word, for his presence. Hallelujah. in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. And again, thank you so much for being here today. As a church family and certainly individuals that are here, we have started 2011 with a simple goal, and that is to turn it over to Jesus and smile. I'm not going to sing. Don't be nervous. But that song has just been something that has helped us to identify that when we put our lives into the hands of God, everything works out better. There may be mountains and valleys already in your 2011 experience, but when you put your life in the hands of God, He can make all things work together for good because He does have a divine plan for His people. And that's why many people in this building, we haven't taken a survey, we haven't tried to get into your personal lives, but I believe you would be surprised to note that there are many people seated around you that have committed to a special effort of prayer and fasting throughout the month of January. We're not going to have you stand or try to make some sort of show of this, but I'm thankful for brothers and sisters and friends that have taken time to focus on Jesus Christ in a special way. Some have even turned off the world and made decisions about electronic entertainment. Just a personal thing that said, I'm not going to spend so much time in the things of this life that I don't have time for prayer and for reading my Bible. I thank the Lord for people that recognize turning it over to Jesus is not just what we do on Sunday, but every single day I want to give my life to God. I want to make sure that in 2011, I belong to Jesus. In fact, we want to be like Him. Now, I just want to give you a news flash, and that is January is over tomorrow. So you can learn all kinds of important things at church. Hopefully that will be something you find helpful. But can I just throw this in? We are not the only people or the only church that takes time in January to establish something in the beginning of the year that says, Jesus, this entire year belongs to you. But I'd like for us to just do something that probably will send the devil into shock. I know that we started the year off by giving ourselves over to God. But even though January ends tomorrow, why don't we just start all over again in February and give ourselves to Jesus Christ? In other words, whatever commitments you made in January to start the year off in the presence of the Lord, to push the world out of the way and get more aligned with Jesus Christ, have a conversation with God today that goes something like this. Jesus, just between me and you, the devil thinks I just did that business in January so I'd have a good new year or so I'd have a nice resolution that I would fulfill. But I just want you to know, God, it wasn't just a 1 month thing. It wasn't just a little commitment I made for a few days hoping God would give me favor for the rest of the year. Jesus, just between me and you, I'm not going to tell the pastor, I'm not going to broadcast it before the church, but come February, I'm going to pray. Come February, I'm going to fast. Come February, I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to push the word of the world aside, and I'm going to let you be the Lord of my life. Praise the name of the Lord. Now that may look different for you in February than it did in January, but whatever it looks like for you, go after it. Whatever it looks like for you, get a hold of it. In fact, I'll just throw this in. If you had the kind of January where you always intended to give a little bit more time to God and it just didn't happen, guess what? We still got 11 months to the year. There's still plenty of time for you to say, Jesus, 2011 is not about me. 2011 is about Jesus. 2011 is not about what I want. 2011 is about what God wants. Look in Philippians chapter 3. This is a pretty incredible passage of scripture. The apostle Paul is talking about his passion to know the Lord. And in Philippians 3 and verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Jesus Christ. For Paul, he could lump in a bunch of persecution and things that came against him because of his stand for Jesus Christ. That's probably not the case with most of us here in this building. Even though we have not faced persecution, though, we have made consecration. We have made commitments to Jesus Christ. And let us be like Paul and say to the Lord, anything I've given up in the month of January to get closer to you, I count it but dung. It doesn't matter. I think I'm just going to put more time into my Bible and less time into the TV. I turned it off a little bit more in January, and you know what? It felt kind of good. It felt kind of wonderful to be in the Word of God. I put a little bit more time in prayer and fasting and being closer to the presence of the Lord, and the things I have sacrificed or gone without, they're nothing compared to being closer to the Lord. That's a great attitude to have in this new year. Look at Philippians chapter 3, the same chapter, just a couple of verses further down. In verse number 10, Paul said, I want to know Christ. This is from the New Living Translation. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. If you think about it, the Apostle Paul was saying, I die daily because I'm going to live forever. I'm persecuted. It seems like there's so many things that come against me, but I'm not living for this life. Now, we may not face persecution, but we have made sacrifices and commitments to die daily. But as we look at that, we are saying today, January is over, but I want to know you, Jesus. I don't want to stop and stay in the place where I am. I want to experience your mighty power until it changes my life. I would dare say, especially at this volume, that some may feel like that's a little bit excessive, perhaps even a little bit intense. Some might say, you know, I was thinking about a little bit more religion in January so I could relax the rest of the year. I'm not sure I want to do this again in February. Some of that fasting don't feel good. That extra time of prayer, getting up in the morning a little bit earlier before work, that wasn't as convenient as you might think, Pastor. I mean, all you do is sit around all day and read the paper. You got time for that stuff. But some of us got to live in the real world. You know how it is. But let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Prayer and fasting in the month of January, it is not the end of our spiritual journey. It is the beginning of a year where we're going to see the glory of God, where we're going to get that fire from the altar until the coal touches our lips and our lives, and we know that God has taken us somewhere that we have never been. So I say, more of Jesus, more and more and more, more prayer, more of his presence, more of his word, more fasting, more of God and less of the world. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands as if to say, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for that. Get a hold of me, God, until I don't lose the pressing, until I don't lose the sense of moving forward in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you think that's intense, you might find what I'm about to share with you even more intense, because from this chapter that I plucked out this verse, Isaiah 58, we get a really good snapshot of prayer and fasting from God's perspective. Now, I don't know if you want to put the children to sleep for just a few moments or cover their ears, but since this is from the Lord, it's a little bit heavy hitting. Let's read it together from Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation just because it's slightly simpler to understand. But in light of all the prayer and fasting, all the attempt to get closer to God, let's look at what the Lord did to Israel during a season when they were praying and fasting and trying to get closer to God. Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the Lord said, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Verse 2, yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its gods. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. I don't believe God is saying that to us today, but he was saying that to Israel. And in saying that to Israel, he gives us an understanding that will help us in our own lives. Look at verse 3 now. This is the people talking to God. And God says, this is what they say to me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It is because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fast will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? I'm not sure that we can make a case that God was trying to say that fasting's no good, but you get the sense that he was saying, if fasting and prayer is just outward religion, then you've missed the point. If being a little bit spiritual in the early part of the year makes you feel like now you've gained God's favor for the rest of the 11 months that we have in 2011, God was saying to Israel, you don't realize what fasting is for. Fasting is to change you. Fasting is to get a hold of you. And in fact, he basically says, if you're still the same person after you've prayed and after you've fasted, or we might say after you've come to church and been in the altar, then you would have been better off not even to fast. Now, I will just say, being someone that has fasted many different times, that I can agree with this because I have fasted and it changed me. And I have fasted and it didn't change me. I have fasted and surrendered my will and my attitude to God. And then I have fasted and my will was not surrendered and my attitude was not changed. And I have at times heard God in a kind way say, you really probably should have went to McDonald's, because none of this fasting did you any good. Now, maybe he didn't say McDonald's because there's other problems with probably going to McDonald's as much as I would. But you get the point. There's something about these words that's going to help us. Let's look at verse number 6 now. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. In other words, we must let fasting impact our relationships. God wasn't saying that you shouldn't pray or you shouldn't fast or you shouldn't push the world aside, but he was saying by the time you get closer to me, something's going to transform your perception about life, and you're going to start caring for people other than yourself. You're going to be consumed with the will of God and not just your own plans. And he was saying to Israel, as I believe he would say to us, yes, fasting has its place, but not just so we can put a little check mark next to another religious routine, but so that we can say, Jesus, I want you to change me. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. I want to be more like you. Praise the name of the Lord. If you are blessed to be here next Sunday, you're going to discover that as we enter into the month of February around here, we're going to renew our commitment to the things that we can do to help the hurting of our community. We're going to renew our commitment to those activities and attitudes that will cause us to care less about us and more about others. I thank God for what's going to happen here next Sunday. But let me tell you something. That's what prayer and fasting is for. So that as we begin to move as a mighty army, as the church of the living God, as the body of Christ, that we can pick up those that might say, no, wait a minute. I come every Sunday. I put a little bit of money in the offering. Me and God got it going on. I'm okay. I'll see you next week. Absolutely not. If that's the way you feel, you need to pray and fast until you feel differently about that. You need to realize it's not just about once or twice a week. It's about a lifestyle. And that's what God was saying to his Old Testament people. You've got to get close enough to me that it's not about you. You've got to get close enough to me that your whole mentality changes. And I don't mind telling you, that's the kind of Christianity I want. That's the kind of walk with God I want. Is there anybody that would raise their hands with me and just say, Jesus, I'm not just about logging in more time on church on Sundays. I'm not just about logging in more time in spiritual exercise. I want this powerful, mighty Holy Spirit to change me. I want the power of the living God to get a hold of me. I want a transformation to get a hold of my life. Can you say in Jesus' name? That may sound a little bit heavy. You might make other plans for next Sunday, but don't worry, I won't be preaching, by the way. But listen, if you look a little further in that chapter, it's amazing what God promises. Look at verse number 8, Isaiah 58 and verse 8. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call, the Lord will answer, yes, I am here. He will quickly reply, remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. I don't know how you feel about that, but that gives me great hope. And I'm sure there's more people than just me in this building that live for God, because you know without him you are nothing. Without him your life is going to be one big huge mess. But there's something about this passage that promises us when religion becomes more than just our routine, when prayer and fasting becomes more than just another spiritual activity, when we realize God has opened the door that I can have my life completely transformed, and he promises me it's going to be a day that dawns fresh in my life, full of salvation and power and healing. Is there anybody? You don't have to raise your hands, but even though you live for God, and even though you love Jesus Christ, and even though you come to church as much as you can, and yes, you have tried some prayer and you've tried some fasting, but you still feel like you're in darkness. You still feel like you're bound by some addictions and some habits. This purse is for you. This promise is for you. There's a new day dawning. There's a healing coming quickly. There's a light that's about to shine. And it's your life. It's your life. It's your promise from God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we must pray. We must fast with purpose. I don't want to just go through some more religious calisthenics. I want to be changed. How will I know that I've been changed? My relationship with God will absolutely impact my relationship with others. I've been changed. I've been changed. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're here today. Look at Galatians 6, verse number 9. Galatians 6 and verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And look at what that's tied to in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. One translation says, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right moment, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. But even that incredible promise is linked to the reality that the movement of God in our lives is not just about me, myself, and mine. The next verse says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the family of faith. Think about that in the context of Isaiah 58 and verse 10. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. My brothers and sisters, we can be Christians on our way to heaven and become so self-absorbed that life is just one pity party, one little blanket of fear and doubt about our own well-being. And God wants to break us out of that. It's not enough just to come to church and sing a few songs and still be overwhelmed about how you're going to pay bills and how you're going to get by. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than that. Christianity is more life-changing than that. And so the Lord says, I'm going to get a hold of you as you pray. I'm going to get a hold of you as you fast. I'm going to get a hold of you as you draw nearer to me. And all of a sudden, my relationship with my children is going to produce something that changes their relationship with each other. Praise God. So I say, if you are a spouse here, let's pick on the wives. If you are a wife here and you've been praying, fasting, seeking God, this kind of religion is such that you'll be able to forgive your husband. Let it shine. Let it shine. Well, we got it backwards. I pray and fast enough to get permission to not forgive my husband. We got it upside down. And that's what he was talking to us about. You're doing all the right religious things, but you still got something in your heart against a brother or a sister. And so we say today, thank you, brothers and sisters, that serve one another by love. That's how we let it shine. We don't just come to church saying, everybody better notice me. Everybody needs to know what's wrong with me. Everybody better be ready to help me. No, you can pray and fast through that. You can pray and fast over that until your life is not just one big black hole where you're consumed with your own problems and your own pain. You'll never be happy living like that. You'll never be satisfied living like that. So God promises you can pray, you can fast until all of a sudden you start drawing out your soul to help others. You start drawing out your soul to bless others. And while you're doing that, your light begins to shine. So I say to this church, let's keep praying so we can let it shine. Let's keep fasting so we can let it shine. I say to every Christian, let's let God get a hold of us until our relationship with God changes our relationship with each other. Thank you for every saint of God and leaders in particular that helped to rescue fallen believers. You know what you're doing? Let it shine. Let it shine. If we are a church that doesn't pray and fast until God changes us, people will come in that have made mistakes. People will come in that have fallen and they're trying to get back up. And we'll go to backbiting. We'll go to pointing fingers at them. We'll go to judging them. And that will just become a place of darkness for us. We'll sing the right songs. We'll even shout and do our jig. But we will become a dead people. And God wants to rescue us from that. Because all the praying and fasting we can do is meaningless if we don't let our relationship with God fill us with the kind of love that when it comes to someone that's fallen, we're not quick to talk about them. We're quick to pray for them. Oh God, I don't know how it is that I heard that something happened to so and so, but I'm not going to pick up the phone. I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to pray that you might rescue them. There no I, but for the grace of God, I'm saying let it shine. I'm saying let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Praise God. Praise God. Our relationship with God must impact our relationship with people that do not know Jesus Christ. That's why we're praying. That's why we're fasting. That's why we're coming to church. If we're coming to church and it's still about me, then we've missed it somewhere. That's what God was saying to Israel. If we're praying and fasting and lost people are everywhere. We see them at work and we see them in the stores and there's no connection. There's no conviction. There's no compassion. Then we've missed it somewhere. That's why God was saying, you might as well forget fasting and go ahead and head out and get a steak somewhere. Because I don't believe he was saying fasting doesn't help us or change us. But he was saying we must let the presence of God get a hold of us. We must let this spiritual momentum transform us. And so I say today, one of the indications that we're moving forward as a church is when we begin to pray and fast until people that do not know Jesus are impacted by the light that shines from our lives. You may say, well, that's kind of crazy, Pastor. I got so much on my plate, it's going to take a miracle even if I make it to heaven. Come on, my dear friends. Jesus saved you to send you to someone that needs to know him. In Matthew 5, Jesus said it this way, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What does that mean? Jesus said it means this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Pray and fast and get a hold of an altar in your life until when you go to work, it's not just a gripe about your boss or about your lack of a pay raise. It's to go there and let it shine. It's to go there and by your good works be an example to someone that doesn't know God. Praise God. And I say sincerely thank you to all of you serving our generation saints. Let it shine. Let it shine. I honor you because you don't just show up on a pew once or twice a week. But there you are at Griffith Academy. Let it shine. There you are working with graduated pays to mentor those that are having trouble getting through high school. Let it shine. There you are working with the students from Wake Forest and you're helping the homeless. Let it shine. Thank you for you young people and others that made your way to Salem Terrace. Some that go month after month after month just to show love and kindness to the elderly. I say let it shine. If it's in the Samaritan Ministries, let it shine. When we work with the Red Cross, cross, let it shine. When we take time to help out at the Second Harvest Food Bank, let it shine. When we're involved with the Ronald McDonald House, let it shine. All the things we try to do for the AIDS care services, let it shine. And when we cooperate with the Salvation Army, let it shine. This is not just about another church program. This is our Christian purpose. We've got to let it shine. Salvation's got to be more than just what God does for me. Oh, would you clap your hands, because you've been given a call that's higher, higher than just sitting on a pew. You've been given a call that's higher than just waiting for a trumpet sound. Let it shine. Amen. Praise God. Let me just pause. Let's look at that verse again, Isaiah 58 and verse 10. I won't be much longer, but I need to help somebody today. Because here I am, screaming and sweating like some kind of animal. And you're like, Pastor, I just need somebody to pray, because I've had the flu. The doctor just gave me some news about some other things. And you're talking about me doing a work for God. You are out of touch. This is what God gave us. This is why he spoke to his people. And Isaiah 58 said, you're missing it. You got all kinds of religion, but you're not letting me change you. Because the manifestation of my power in your life, the real antidote to the things that make you feel like you're being suffocated and in darkness, you're saying, Pastor, what I really needed you to do today is to preach the kind of message that would get my spouse in the altar and he'd get rid of all that nasty stuff in his heart. Oh, is that really what you need? Don't worry, I cover that on most Sundays. But it takes more than that. It takes more than that. It takes the kind of encounter with God, the kind of relationship with God, that all of a sudden I cannot be so easily infected by what other people say and what other people do. And I meant to say easily affected, but I think infected works better at this point. Because we are Christians, and yet we are so easily filled with the venom of bitterness because we live our lives on the highs and lows of other people's acts and opinions. And God was saying, you are suffocating yourself in the darkness, and you pray and you fast and you worship and you speak in tongues and you do a little jig around the church, but you are in darkness. So he said, let your soul reach out to satisfy the hungry soul. Let something from within you reach out to someone that's afflicted. I don't believe he was trying to tell us to ignore our own affliction or ignore our own hunger. But he was saying, if you stay self-absorbed, you will self-destruct. But if you will take what I've already given you, if you will take how I've already blessed you, and even if you got some kids that are not acting right, even if you got a boss that really don't realize how special you are, why don't you just draw out of your soul to help the hungry, to satisfy the afflicted soul, and then your light is going to rise in obscurity and your darkness is going to be as the noonday. Don't just come to the altar and pray so you can get rid of your hang-ups. Come to the altar and pray, God, lead me to someone in this church and someone on my job and someone in my neighborhood that is broken and afflicted and hurting and hungry, and let my light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And the Christian world is filled with heroes, some that are paraplegics, but they let their light shine. Some that lost their parents when they were just kids, but they let their light shine. Some that have a daddy that's in jail, and they just let their light shine. Because they discovered, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm living for God, but I can't get over myself. And God said, as long as you focus on you, your life will never change. But if you start focusing on my will and my purpose, your light will shine. and the glory of God that shines from your life. While I'm using you to help others, don't you worry, I'm going to help you. While I'm using you to bless others, don't you worry, I'm going to bless you. I wonder if you'd raise your hands and say, I'm signing up for that. I'm not just praying and fasting to be religious. I'm not just coming to heaven you because I know I want to be ready for heaven. There's something more happening in my life. There's a call of God that's gotten a hold of me, and I want to recognize with everything that is within me the destiny that God has for me, in spite of the problems on my job, in spite of the problems on my family, in spite of my own inadequacies. I know that God is calling me to let it shine. Praise the name of the Lord. The secret to our own miracle is our investment in someone else's victory. So let it shine. Pray and fast, worship until you want to serve God. Because the reality is, Jesus saved us so that we could serve him. Jesus saved us so that we could shine for him. So Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Colossians says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Why? Because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wise to pray and to fast about your ministry. But we talk about our ministry so much, we forget that this is God's ministry. So it's not about your position. It's about your purpose. And you can let it shine vacuuming the carpet. You can let it shine driving a church van. You can let it shine without ever standing behind a pulpit. Thank God for those that let it shine when they do. But we need to get some sort of a connection with God that it's not about our ministry. It's about his purpose and his plan. It's not about what God can do to help me along this life and have a more comfortable existence. It's about me saying, Jesus, you came to seek and to save the lost. That's what I'm going to do. Jesus, you gave yourself not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give your life a ransom for many. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast until I let it shine. I'm not just going to pray and fast until I get a little bit of pulpit time. I'm not just going to pray and fast until everybody knows my name. I'm going to pray and fast until something about my life is filled with an understanding that I live for God and not for myself. You say amen? And so I say thank you to all of you folks that have got connected already this year with some of the outreach teams, those that help us with prayer on the porch. One Saturday a month, they just knock on doors, and they just say, hey, can I help you pray? You say, Pastor, I could never do that. That would freak me out. Well, you just come on that Saturday when you see it on the calendar, prayer on the porch, and we'll hook you up with somebody that's ready to freak everybody else out. And you just stand quietly by them, and when it's time to pray, you say, in Jesus' name. You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be letting it shine. You're not just going to be showing up at church hoping that God blesses you. You're going to say, God, I want my light to rise up out of darkness. I thank God for these that have gotten together, and once a month, they're doing prayer for our city. They're just simply going to neighborhoods. They're not even knocking on doors. They're just going through the community praying, Jesus, bless our neighbors. Jesus, anybody can do that. I said, anybody can do that. I know it takes a little bit of a sacrifice, and we got to rearrange our schedules. I understand our lives are busy, but what I'm saying is that the Lord said all this praying and all this fasting, all this having church, it's supposed to change us until all of a sudden my relationship with God affects my relationship with this city. And we don't just come into church a couple times a week as though we're secret agents for Jesus Christ. There's something about God's power that gets a hold of us until I can say, you know what, Pastor Stroud, I'm not sure I'm ready to teach a Bible study, but when they go pray for the city, I can go through the neighborhood and just quietly pray, in the name of Jesus, help my neighbors to know the love of God. In the name of Jesus, help my neighbors to feel the power of God. I'm telling you, it will cause your light to shine. Praise the name of the Lord. And so I urge you in 2011, let's pray and fast. Let's seek God until we find the hungry and the thirsty, and we let it shine. Let's pray and fast and seek God until we find the lost and the lonely, and we just let it shine. Let's pray and fast and seek God until we become more soul-centered and less self-centered. Because at that moment, prayer and fasting has begun to work in us, and God has begun to change us. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Lord Jesus, we have a building filled with people today, wonderful people. Some that are a part of our church family and others that just love you and they're doing their best to serve you. And all of us, God, have come to the end of this message with a desire for you to change us. This little light of mine, Lord, I've got to let it shine. Since I was in Sunday school, Lord, it was put into my soul that you wanted to do something with my life. And could it be that some of my frustration with my life or with my family or with my job or with whatever is because I've become more focused on me and less focused on you and the people that you died to save? Help me to answer the call today. Help me to answer the call today to let it shine, to let it shine. Would you stand with me right now? Would you raise your hands as if to say, Jesus, I surrender? The musicians are going to help us with a simple little song that helps us give our hearts over to the Lord. But I think it would be beautiful if everybody in the building that's a Christian, even if you're not a part of this church, if you would just raise your hands and surrender and say, Jesus, let my life shine for you. Let the light of what you've given me and what you've done for me get a hold of me. Maybe you're one of those people that raising your hands is just absolutely out of the question. Then could you use your voice right now to communicate to God, I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. Is there anybody that can say, Jesus, I am committing myself today to prayer, to fasting, to seeking you. Until it's not about me, Lord. It's about you. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I'm not going to stop, Lord, until my thoughts throughout the day are not consumed with my problems and my pain, but they're consumed with your purpose and your promises to use me and to bless me and to change me. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now, let me tell you something. If you would think about it, maybe this has not impacted you, but I guarantee you that this building is filled with people right now that want to be used of God, that want God to work through them. And God has just chosen to work through people. He doesn't need us, but this is the way He does it. And I'm telling you today, if you came here to this church on this Sunday saying, God, I got to get my miracle today. We're not going to interview you. We're not going to embarrass you. But in just a moment when I invite people to come, if you would come and in your own way begin to tell God what you need and believe that He will meet that need, you will be surrounded by people that their main goal is going to be praying that the power of God changes your life. It's not about joining the church. If you want to join, we'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing. But right now, I'm telling you, the atmosphere is perfect. So that if you are broken or hurting or just maybe there's just something you just found out and you need a miracle, if you come today, there's going to be enough people praying that the power of God is going to sweep through this place and God will meet your need. Don't be embarrassed to come. Don't hold back when you see others come. Because there will be people all around this altar that are not just coming for themselves. They're coming hoping that God will let their light shine today. Don't be afraid to come. If you've never repented of your sins, don't be afraid to come. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name by immersion, just like they did in the Bible, we can do that for you. We've done it every Sunday this year. And not everybody we've done it for are people that are part of this church. They were just people that said, wow, I've never been baptized the Bible way. And they came and they saw Pastor Dan and said, please tell me about that. He told them, don't worry, we got robes in the back. Your own clothes don't have to get wet. And within just a few minutes, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All their sins were washed away. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty awesome. I'm not saying we just do that as part of some little religious routine. We do that as part of putting our faith in Jesus Christ. He died for me. I'm going to live for Him. So I'm going to repent. I'm going to be baptized in His name. I'm going to be seeking to be filled with His Spirit. If you need the power of God in your life, or if you want the power of God to flow through you, would you just begin to come right now? Find a place to stand. Reach out to God, either for your own need or to connect with someone else and pray for their need. Anybody that needs the power of God, this is the perfect moment to surrender to the Lord. Anybody that needs an answer to prayer, this is the perfect moment to just come and say, here it is, God. Here's the problem. Here's the pain. Here's the heartache. Here's the disappointment. I give it to you, Lord.